You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, what's going on, Giants fans? We talked to you yesterday, and now it's Tuesday morning. Literally about 24 hours after we did our last podcast yesterday, Monday, July 24th. Here we are, Tuesday morning, July 25th. This, by the way, of course, is a Talk is Cheap podcast from NJ Advanced Media, the Star Ledger, NJ.com. Daryl Slater here with Bob Brookover. And the reason we are here with you one day after our last podcast, which, by the way, is now irrelevant, but, you know, you can listen to it if you want. The reason we are here is Saquon Barkley and the Giants have an agreement on a revised franchise tag contract, so there will be no training camp quote-unquote holdout, even though it was never really going to be a holdout. It was going to be a middle finger protest. So he's going to report, I would guess, well, even if he doesn't report today when the Giants report, he'll be on the practice field Wednesday or maybe Thursday. Not going to miss any significant portion of camp, not going to stay away. He's not going to miss any regular season games, and away the Giants go with the whole team intact and ready to attack this season. But a lot to break down, of course, Bob, with this Barkley situation. I think bottom line here, three words for me coming out of this is Saquon Barkley caved.
he didn't really have a choice. I mean, it could have gone on forever. He could have held out, but he had nothing to gain by holding out. And, you know, if you think about it, the hints were there that he wanted to be a Giant. He said, I want to be a Giant for life. Even as his actions were, he was expressing his unhappiness. He was also the things he was doing were telling you that his heart was still tugging toward the Giants. You know, Daniel Jones took players to Phoenix. He followed them. He joined those workouts. Daniel Jones gathered players in North Carolina. He went there. He was never completely, like in Vegas, Josh Jacobs yesterday, the report out of Vegas was Josh Jacobs left Las Vegas. That just as the Raiders are arriving in Las Vegas, he left. Saquon wasn't able to do that. It doesn't surprise me because that's who he's been is pretty much his whole career. He's very, you know, as much as he didn't get a deal here, he is very much a team guy and has been since he's been here. But, you know, let's just, if you're keeping score of the Giants won as handily in this matchup as the Eagles did when they last played the Giants to end last season.
And no surprise, of course, because Joe Shane had all the leverage. I think you or I could have, quote unquote, won this thing because it was never going to the ship had sailed on Saquon Barkley maximizing his monetary value this offseason. Rewind to last year, one of the initial offers that Joe Shane made would have practically guaranteed that's an important phrase. Saquon Barkley, $26 million over the first 2 years of a deal. He turned it down. You know, he and his agent just totally botched this. And then you get to the mid-July tag deadline last Monday, and they basically offered him the two tags just north of that, and he turned that down. And now, so he's here. He's going to, like, the contract he got, obviously all you guys folks have seen that. It's the tag contract, $10.091 million. With $1 million in incentives, and we'll get to that. Like, he's not guaranteed to get the incentives. Also, he can still be tagged next year for $12.1 million. Again, it's not a lock he's going to get that money or he's going to be tagged, but he could be. So Joe Shane still has all the leverage here. Joe Shane did not agree to not tag Barkley next offseason. So they didn't put that in writing. This is a very small concession, quite frankly, for Joe Shane when you look at the particulars of the incentive. And the Saquon Barkley really didn't have much choice. And he just came around, and the ship had sailed, like I said, on him getting more money. Like
the only way Saquon was going to even have, and I'm not sure this would have worked out for him either. The only way he was going to have any chance of getting what he wanted was if the Giants didn't get a deal done with Daniel Jones in March.
Yes.
Because then they would have used the tag on Jones, and Barkley would essentially become a free agent. But I'm not sure he would have gotten this good a deal if he had gone into free agency. I'm really not, because the market, what we saw, says no, he wouldn't have. Miles Sanders got the best deal, and it wasn't, from an AAV point of view, which I know that's not everything, but was not even close to $10 million a year. So, I mean, there may not have been any way for Saquon to win this thing.
And I think we should pause, and when people talk about this, I did a fan podcast last night, and everyone's saying, like, well, what can be done to help the running backs? It's like, okay, let's just pause for a second. This is not some disembodied entity that is like holding the running backs down. We talk about the market, right? The market are human beings, general managers and owners, more specifically general managers, deciding what is important to build their team and who and how to pay players. Obviously, the franchise tag is what it is with running backs, right? But these are people valuing a position in a cold, calculated way, based on evidence, not sentimentality. Like, so let's just call it what it is. General managers are making decisions about what's important. Now, are they right? Let's say a running back, maybe a running back gets a second contract and it's a modest deal, and he overachieves on that contract, and that happens a few times. Maybe the market will turn. But like, I think we need to realize here that like, these are human beings and general managers making these decisions. They're not, it's not some like disembodied force that's keeping these guys down, or some narrative or whatever. No, it's the general managers who are building the teams, and it's capitalism. This is how it works. This is how the NFL, it's not necessarily a free market thing like baseball, but it's like the housing market, right? There's certain values are going to go up and down, and it's all based on what people want to spend on. So
I'm going to play the other side of this, though, by just simply pulling up the yards from scrimmage leaders from 2022. Number one, Josh Jacobs, running back. Number two, Derrick Henry, running back. Number three, Christian McCaffrey, running back. Number five, Nick Chubb, running back. Number seven, Saquon Barkley, running back. Number eight, Austin Eckler, running back. Number nine, Aaron Jones, running back. So seven of the top nine are running backs. That's where you run into the problem of, okay, this is the way they've evaluated it. But there are special, there are some teams that go by running back by committee, and then there are other teams that, rely heavily on that guy, and the Giants are one of those teams with Saquon. There are more that go by committee anymore. But there are still a ton of running backs that are really good and really important to their teams. And, so that part of it just doesn't equate to, okay, these guys are really valuable. They're 30% of our offense. But when it's time to pay them, we don't.
Yeah, I think that they just, GMs look at this and say there's an earlier expiration date on running back. So why pay a second contract when the guy's going to only achieve for maybe the first year of that deal and easily replace? And one of the things here to remember is that just the affordability of the rookie wage scale. So people say like, oh, well, running backs still matter because this guy was drafted in the first round or the second round. Take a look at the value of those contracts. Take a look at, okay, all you need to know is that Saquon Barkley was a number two overall pick, and through 5 years, he's made $38.6 million. Obviously, that's a lot of money. It's not a lot of NFL money. Okay, so like the rookie wage scale is such that you can just start over at running back. It's not like, yes, running back is important, but is it important? But you can just, because of the durability issues of the position, you could just throw this the guy 6 years in onto the trash heap and hit the reset button with another guy, like theoretically, yeah, right?
Saquon is one of the luckiest running backs in the last in this century, because he was the number two overall pick. So the salary scale for him was very favorable as the number two overall pick. He was fortunate in that regard.
Absolutely. And, all things considered, he's made $38.6 million through 5 years. Again, a lot of money, not a ton of NFL money. He turned down a deal during the year that would have given him, or one of the initial offers, $26 million practically guaranteed over the first 2 years of the deal. That's a lot. Like, when you consider what he's made versus what that is, then he turned down something just north of the tag figured right before the mid-July deadline. The two tags being worth like 22.2 total. Again, also a lot. And he wound up with 10.091 or maybe 11.091 if he hits these incentives. So he's betting on himself. I don't think I would have done that. But that's where things are now for him. And
yeah. And like I said, you know, he is betting on himself, but I just, you know, it just seems like a no-win game for him that, even if he goes, maybe I'm wrong. If he has a Josh Jacobs year, 2,000 yards from scrimmage in 2023, maybe he goes out and gets everything he dreamed of next year. But unlikely, very unlikely. If he has that year, more than likely he's going to get tagged again.
100%. We get to the possibilities for next year, which are really intriguing here. So obviously he's going to be 27 in February, by the way. He's getting up there, treading the tire. He's had injuries. We'll see what he does this year in terms of productivity and health. On the incentives, he has $1 million in incentives that's equally divided, I guess, like what, 3-3-3-3-3-3 between 1,300 rushing yards, 11 touchdowns, which I presume is total touchdowns, and 65 catches. Right. So if you look at what he did last year, he had 13-12 rushing, 10 total touchdowns, and 57 catches. So he was just north of the rushing incentive, just south of the touchdown one, and well south of the catches one. His best season his rookie year still is the 1,307 rushing yards. Again, basically the same, just north. 15 total touchdowns and 11 rushing. So he eclipsed that 11 pretty good. And then 91 catches, so well ahead of that. These are fairly difficult incentives.
Yeah, he's only reached the reception one once in his career. The rushing yards twice in his career. The touchdowns, what, twice in his career. So the touchdowns once in his career. So
once, I think, if you're talking about total touch, I think it's got to be
total. If you're talking about total touchdowns, either way, it's only once in his career. So
exactly right.
So there was also a report that there's some postseason things tied in here, but I don't know what they are. So
right. So there's, like we said, no stipulation that he can't be tagged again in 2024, which is why, you know, obviously Joe Shane won this, but he had a lot of leverage. It's not like Joe Shane came from behind and won this thing. No,
he took the rules that were in front of him and, you know, made him work. So,
yeah, I mean, Saquon, I don't have a lot of sympathy for Saquon Barkley. He had an opportunity here multiple times. It's not like they never offered him a contract, but they tagged him.
He had an opportunity to do better than this, yes.
He chose to go down this road. So I'm not buying the whole sympathy thing for this guy, the playing the victim or whatever. Yeah, like, did they offer you $30 million guaranteed? No, but like, that, this is how negotiations work. He took a calculated risk and it didn't work out. Now I'm sure he'll frame it, you know, not like that. And I'm sure he'll, you know, someone's going to ask him tomorrow, do you think your agent did a good job with this? And the objective answer is obviously no.
Right. But he's not going to say that, but he'll, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And he'll try to frame it about wanting to be there, blah, 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 or whatever. So that's where they're at in terms of these incentives, the $1 million that can max the deal out at 11.01, right? So let's just say he's tagged again next year. That means he will have played well enough to get that $12.1 million tag next year. That's a 2-year total of 22.2 at least, or maybe 23.2 if he hits the incentives. Let's just say if there's some postseason incentives, maybe he gets north of 24, which is still shy of the 26 he would have gotten. And it's important to remember, we can't just sign him up for getting the tag next year right now, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's all in the Giants. The ball's all in the Giants' court as far as what they want to do. It's, you know, it's a team option. So
it is. Barkley has
an option. It's not a player option. It's a team option. They can decide what to do with Saquon Barkley next year.
Yep. And I mean, that was once they tagged him, that was, you know, his leverage was gone. And that was he was tagged in March, right? In the middle of March or early March rather. And nothing has really changed. For all the blustering he did about skipping the season, he was never going to give up $560,000 a week and skip the season. Never going to happen.
No. And, you know, he wasn't able to do it. You could just, you know, we go back to the thing he did last week that they released on last week on the Bitcoin thing he did. And, you know, everybody made a big deal. I can say F you, but that was immediately quantified by him saying, but I'm not going to, essentially. I could do this. I could do this, but I'm not going to.
He was never a very convincing heel, as we said yesterday.
He just wasn't. And I guess that kind of makes him endearing, is that he's not able to be a heel, I guess, in some ways.
That's just his.
I think if Saquon had his way, he'd be a running back. He'd never have to deal with this stuff. And, you know, the funny thing is, if you go, like, I listened to that whole thing, and there was much of it that was very painful to listen to. And I think I deserve a huge chunk of Bitcoin just for listening to it. But if you listen to the whole thing, it was basically, at one point, Saquon said, you know, money is not everything in the world. That things matter to him, you know, family matters to him, and that stuff. And it wasn't really what the host wanted to hear. He basically said, you know, there are things more important than money, and to me, and, you know, being part of a team and playing football, you know, that part of him really matters to him. You can tell he's a very prideful person and cares about being a great player.
And just to clarify, Adam Schefter from ESPN tweeted this is the precise, incentives. So we're going to have to adjust a little bit. We talked about, I'll have to go back and change a couple things in these posts, but, the incentives are $909,000 worth of incentives. So not a million, close, for three categories. With the 11 touchdowns, which we talked about, that's the same. 65 receptions, the same. And the rushing thing is actually 1,350 rushing yards plus a playoff berth.
So I guess that matters in terms of, because Dan Graziano had texted something or tweeted something about they I guess if you get offer incentives that were reached the year before, that they immediately count against the cap, but if they weren't, then they don't count until they're achieved, I guess.
That's right. Yeah. And so that's a consideration for the Giants, but the way we phrased it before, these are difficult incentives, and now they are a little even more difficult, the rushing being the change there. Right. This season's really up in the air. It's up to Saquon Barkley. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to be really good again in order for this team to win and in order for him to get whatever he can get next year. And so, let's look ahead to next year, because I think we kind of covered everything in the present, right? Like, this is what happened. This is how much money he could get. Like, we know he caved. He had to cave. He had no choice. There was never going to be a, like, much to gain from him skipping camp and, you know, leaving open the possibility of, like, an early season soft tissue injury and the criticism and more importantly, production hit that could come with that, you know, from skipping camp. So as far as next year goes, the options are like, okay, Joe Shane can let him walk in free agency if he struggles. And maybe if he just has a middling year and he gets a contract elsewhere, they can get a comp pick for that departure, that free agency departure. That's one option. Another option is just sign him to a long-term deal like in January or February. Don't even go down this tag road. Okay, that's possible. That's probably the best case scenario for Saquon Barkley, presuming it's a deal he really likes. He'll get to stay with the Giants. Then they could go down the tag road again. And that could be a tag and trade scenario, which we talked about yesterday, but like why the trade can't happen now, but it certainly can happen before the mid-July deadline. That would obviously mean a team would have to have a deal in place with Barkley. And so they'd be giving up draft value and money, which would mitigate the return to the Giants. Then of course you have the tag and then do all this over again, drag it to mid-July maybe and give them a deal. That's possible. Or I guess the last one, if we go through every possibility here, is a tag. And then he winds up playing on the tag again at 12-1, which would be, I don't foresee that. Like, I don't see them doing this whole contract standoff yet again for a second straight year. They could do that. They could keep him prisoner and make him do that. The issue then if that happens, then you get down the road of what Le'Veon Bell did. Where he skipped the season because he knew they weren't going to tag him a third straight year. But again, Saquon Barkley will be 27 next year. You know, what kind of deal could he be looking at in 2025 at 28, having skipped the season? Like, there's just that possibility is so remote. But yeah, no, that's my thought, like on where this could go from here. But they can give him a long-term contract when the regular season ends. Like, it doesn't have to be after the postseason. The Giants can sign him to a contract extension according to the tag rules as soon as the end of this regular season.
Yeah, I mean, and it goes back to, it all depends. There's so many variables to how this plays out. What kind of season does Saquon have? Does somebody... we'll use James Robinson. Does he come in and become the player he was as a rookie and show them something? Does Eric Gray become a back that is a factor and the Giants think they can move forward with him? You know, when use the Eagles as an example here, when last season started, you know, Miles Sanders ended up being the Eagles' best running back last year. And they still said, okay, we don't care. We can move around this. You know, so there's so many things that can happen between now and then that speculating is almost pointless.
And I will add, you know, that people, just so there's no confusion, Saquon Barkley got a $2 million like signing bonus with this. That's all folded into the 10.1. We'll just say 10.1. So I don't have to keep saying 10.091. The $10.1 million base value of this tag deal. It's not in addition to it. They're just giving him $2 million up front and then minusing that from what he's going to get from his weekly salary. I guess he wanted $2 million up front. Maybe he wants to go – maybe he's got some home improvement stuff to do. Maybe he's redoing his basement like I am. So it doesn't cost $2 million, by the way, but it feels like it. So yeah, the $2 million signing bonus, just to be clear – that's what that is. That's not in addition to anything. So he's getting $2 million in a signing bonus, and that leaves $8.1 million to be doled out in salary throughout the year, every, you know, in 18 installments, and then these incentives, $1 million in incentives, which are not even going to come into play until really the end of the year, unless he blows up and hits some of these, you know, in say November. But yeah. That's Saquon Barkley has got a big hill to climb here, man. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, the other way to look at it though is that this is great news for the Giants, as you wrote in your column today. It's great news for the Giants. It's great news for Brian Daboll. I'm sure Joe Shane will sleep better tonight than he did last night. So, you know, they now don't have the sideshow of Saquon Barkley to deal with in training camp. They're going to show up and they can focus entirely on getting ready for the 2023 season.
Yep. I mean, this is, you know, I wrote the headline for my column this morning was Saquon Barkley caved, and that's great news for him and the Giants. And it is great news for him because there was nothing he was going to get out of not caving, right? Out of like being, you know, I guess for lack of a better phrase, holding out, being staging a protest, staying away and digging in his heels. There was nothing left to gain. The ship had sailed. It was over. Like, he had to capitulate here. And he could only, maybe he could just, maybe there would be nothing to gain and he would stay status quo. Or if he skipped a lot of camp and preseason, he would come into the season not fresh, potential soft tissue injury, like all the things we said. So it's good for him, right? I mean, like, there was never going to be any other alternative here. So either was going to be do this now or do this at the end of August and show up week one, having not done a camp. You know, again, he was never skipping a game. He was not going to skip games. And it's obviously great for the Giants because they're having their whole team intact. And this is, we mentioned yesterday, talking about the distraction for Brian Daboll. This is as big a soap opera. But now entering year two, that's not the case. So he handled things well last year, and now he's got a really good situation this year. Brian Daboll does with a guy who's coming in. Now, happy? Is Saquon Barkley happy? No. I mean, probably not totally. But again, he could have prevented this. He could have prevented this.
That will be an interesting thing to see here. Like, we know what Saquon's been like. You know better than I do. Last year was my first year on the beat. But, you know, Saquon was a guy who was in front of his locker. He talked after every game. He was approachable. A lot of superstars in this league are not approachable, but he's an approachable guy. It'll be interesting to see if Saquon is the same exact guy, or if you can tell that there's some unhappiness lingering because of what he went through this offseason.
You know, I will say, you know, at least with his teammates, which I'm sure that that'll be, they'll all rally around him. You know, this will be viewed well. And obviously, even him staying away, the guys were framing it, Xavier McKinney, as, oh, we'd be cool with that. Because players, I mean, I believe that because they are on the player's side. Players are on the player's side. You know, they don't want to see a guy not get paid. Again, not that was a possibility with a holdout anyway. He was not going to get paid. So I will say that, you know, I don't think that he'll be a locker room distraction or whatever in terms of the within the circle of the players. Like, in terms of dealing with us, I think that this will be a situation where tomorrow he will, where the Giants do not have media access today on training camp report day. Sometimes teams do that. The Giants don't this year. Tomorrow they practice for the first time. I would think he'll be there. It's a light practice. I think he'd participate and he'll probably, you know, I would guess, obviously he's going to talk, right? And so he'll probably say, like, this is the only time I'm going to talk about this contract stuff. And just put it all, the answer, or face all the questions, right? And try to put it all to rest and say, like, you know, from here on out, I'm only talking about football. I think that's how he'll handle it. And, you know, whether he's grumpy or not will depend on how he plays and how they play, which is no different than most years, I think. But just like last year, say he was struggling and they were struggling. Then at that point, he was staring down the possibility of, like, stepping into free agency, and then, like, say they stunk last year and he stunk, you know, he would be floating out there in free agency getting nothing this year. But I think
he would have probably got a Miles Sanders type deal, you know, maybe less. I don't know. Cause Miles Sanders actually had a really good year last year.
You know, with the unfortunate reality for Saquon Barkley and these running backs, especially first round running backs, the best time to get your deal is after year three, right? So, like, Ezekiel Elliott, he was drafted in as a first round pick, obviously, in 2016, right? So he played 3 years, and then he signed his contract leading into the fourth year, or as early as he could sign it, right? The earliest possible juncture. That's the way to do it. Get your money early. Now, he everyone panned the contract, but the guy got paid. Like he got his money.
But he's also an example of why you don't pay the running back, because he's still a good player, but he's, you know, you watch the yards per average goes from 5.1 to 4.7 to 4.5 to 4 to last year was 3.8. And, you know, 1,000-yard rusher in three of his first four seasons, but down to 876 last season. You know, it just, you know, the wear and tear, it's there. It's very real. You know, and no position really has to deal with that as much as running back, because they're, you know, their job is to crash into people, so at a higher rate of speed than others.
Yeah, and with Barkley, like, even though he obviously had a great rookie year. He had a pretty good second year, even though he was dealing with that high ankle sprain, right? It all changed for him in week two in Chicago when he tore up his knee in 2020, the start of his third year. That's when the worm turned for him. And that's when that really just forever derailed his earning power for the rest of his career, because say he had a really good year in 2020. He'd be eligible for a contract. He'd be able to like kind of do what is Elliott did and kind of push a little bit and like hold out or whatever. And you know what? Dave Gettleman would have given him a big contract. He would have gotten paid in a big way after 2020. Because remember, Dave Gettleman didn't get fired until after 2021.
Right. And
they would have paid him a big, big contract leading into the 2021 season, leading into year four, if he had stayed healthy in 2020 in year three. And that was the time. But unfortunately, he did get hurt really through no fault of his own. Two games into the 2020 season. And that was really that. I mean, that forever derailed his on-field earning power and put them in a position where they could go fifth year option, make them play in the fifth year option because of durability tag, maybe another tag. And before you know it, he's pushing 30. And so from that perspective, you kind of feel bad for him because he missed the train to get the money, because back then guys were, you know, I don't think leading into the 2021 season, there was as much of a, oh, wow, Elliott flopped or Elliott failed, because he had been through 2 years of his deal at that point. And maybe, yeah, I'm sure Gettleman would have paid him because he drafted him second overall. So yeah, we're just from that perspective, unfortunate for Saquon Barkley, that he wasn't able to get cash in when he could have. But again, he could have seized $26 million. For 2023 and 2024, which would have been what? He's made 38. He could have gotten 26, 38 through 5 years, and then 26 for the next two. I mean, that's a big boost. But now here he is with this revised contract, which ultimately, folks, is not much different than the actual tag.
It's not, but it got him into training camp, and that's what matters.
Yep.
The average fan, that's what matters, is that, you know what, Saquon's going to be there. The Giants are going to start in 46 days, and their team is going to be intact, depending on who makes it through training camp healthy and all that.
Yep. And I think, you know, Giants fans are going to, they don't have to worry about, say, oh, he's missed camp. Is he going to be ready? Nope. He comes in. He's obviously in great shape. He takes care of his body, and he's going to hit the ground running in camp. And, you know, and anything that happens durability-wise or whatever, it's not like you can blame it on him skipping camp. That would just be an unfortunate break. And let's just see here if he can replicate what he did last year and if the Giants can. So that's where we'll leave it. And we will, we'll talk obviously more big picture, you know, in our next podcast. You know, we'll get some training camp practices under our belt here, and, we'll have a chance to kind of step back, look at where the team is, talk about more than just Saquon Barkley, talk about expectations and position battles and all that stuff. So, yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. Be sure to like, rate, review, subscribe on your podcasting platforms. And thanks for tuning in for a second straight day with a little bit of redundancy here, but hopefully we kind of help pitch this whole soap opera forward. Now that the soap opera is, for now, closed, we could be revisiting the situation again next offseason, but it's football time now. And from here on out, we'll be talking, you know, football and how guys look, and certainly a whole lot less about tags and guaranteed money. So appreciate everybody. Enjoy the rest of your day here on Tuesday. And then, yeah, tomorrow, training camp Wednesday. I'm not sure if it's open to the public. I think it probably is.
It is, yeah.
So if you're going out there, it's going to be hot. Hydrate, all that good stuff. All right. Talk to you all soon. Take care.